In today's episode, we have a couple special guests, Will and Mara, and they agreed to come on the show and discuss.
You know you're not talking, right?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to say. It's like an issue they're facing, but it feels so like cheesy to say that.
Will emailed us shortly after we began the podcast to ask a question about how to best talk with his wife about carving out time in their schedules for his startup.
And as anyone who's tried to do this with a partner knows, it's a real balancing act. And so we're going to start today with interviews with both of them. And we'll wrap up by Sherry and I discussing our thoughts.
And to give you a little preview, we're going to talk about some strategies that we think would be helpful for them in terms of improving communication, reworking the current assumptions of their work-life schedules, saving time.
But wait, a preview? Because we're talking after them, right?
I know. I'm giving the preview now, as in this is the preview.
Oh, the preview of what we're going to talk about after the interview. It's that good. We're professionals, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just going to play this as is.
When will ever listen again?
I think this is an important episode because this is a challenge that so many people have, especially people who are bootstrapping an app.
Anyone who has a significant other, a partner of any kind, whether you have kids or not, is going to face this because you're going to face communication issues. You're going to face assumptions that the one or the other has that if you haven't communicated are not going to be answered. You're going to face time crunches and you're going to feel frustration. And that's really the four or five topics that come up during their brief conversation and then that you and I want to cover in the actual episode, in the meat of the episode, where we try to offer thoughts and suggestions. And it's like, there's no silver bullet to this, right? This is a complex thing, but you and I have gone through this in the early 2000s. And I remember it being a real challenge. And so Will and Mara's conversation, as I listened to it, brought up a lot of memories of me struggling with this and trying to figure out how to communicate this and how to move this forward and how to bring you along with it, you know, and not have you be resentful or questioning or maybe doubtful of where I was trying to take us.
Well, I was all those things, but you kept stringing me along.
Apparently. Yeah, but eventually we made it. Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about.
I was envisioning us having a fairly informal conversation about, you know, some of the challenges that you and your wife are having surrounding figuring out how to find time for you to work on this project. And like I said in my email, this is not Jerry Springer. I don't want to have any kind of conversation with either of you that makes it worse or is painful or, you know, elicits a lot of conflict. But because it is a struggle that I think so many families have, I appreciate you and your wife being willing to come on and talk about it.
I'm glad to be here, and I wouldn't worry about any issues there.
So your day job is finance, but you're working on an app on the evenings and weekends?
I am, and evenings and weekends really ends up to be just a few hours a week, which is where the problem is.
You've been working on your project for a couple of years. What would you ideally like your work to look like?
Ideally, long term, I would like the project I'm working on the side to be my full-time job. But you know, I understand I've got a very long-term time horizon on that. But I do feel I have been working on it for over 2 years, and I would have hoped to be a little bit further along on that process.
So that's been a long time of trying to figure out how to carve out time in life to give to this project.
Exactly.
I try to support him with his ideas and the startup project. But, you know, it is hard to find the time to give him to really fully focus on these startups.
Both my wife and I work. Actually, we both work from home, but, you know, we have separate offices. Two children, one is 3, one is 5 months, and they both go to daycare during the day. Daycare drop-offs and pickups each take an hour. So it's not like we've lost our commute time, we've just redirected it. And with children, it's just really hard to find time to work on projects outside of our day job and outside of family chores around the house, because kids do take up a lot of time and they really don't respect schedules or even know what a schedule is.
Very true.
If I want to work, you know, from 8 to 10 at night, my wife might be able to respect that. My children might not. We found definitely with having the second child that it's almost like one person needs to be assigned to each kid just to make it through the evenings at times. So it's just really hard to find the time to pursue our dreams, I guess.
Yeah, you're in this phase of life where your children are young and they require a lot of intensive care and attention. You're playing man-to-man, not zone at this point.
Right, yeah.
Right now, we both have full-time jobs and we both are full-time parents as well, and we do a great job of sharing the parenting duties, and my husband cooks dinner a lot and does the laundry, and we both help out around the house as well as do our full-time job. So those are our two main priorities, which I think we have a good grasp on, and trying to fit in, you know, a third priority is where it's hard. I think right now, you know, my husband's trying to squeeze in 10 minutes here or take time while the kids are napping, and it's more of a frustration when can't, you know, fully focus on his project when kids are running in and out of his office and he gets distracted.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of starting and stopping.
Yeah.
What do you think you need your weekly life to look like in order to give what you would like to give to your project?
Definitely, I would say more structure. Neither of our jobs are the 40-hour, you know, 9-to-5, 40-hour-a-week job. Both of them do require more hours at times. Mine is getting better at that, definitely closer to 40 hours now. But I think just day-to-day, more structure, you know, being able to get dinner, you know, on the table at 6:30, you know, then bath, then bed. And then maybe my wife and I could spend some time together or work on our projects. We just can't seem to get a schedule like that down at this point in time in our lives. By the time, you know, we do get the kids to bed, we are just wiped out, too tired, definitely too tired to be productive or anything. I do try to get up in the mornings. The mornings are the best time of the day for me creatively. But, you know, if I get up at 5:30, you know, there's nothing to say that a child isn't going to be waking up by 6:15.
So the unpredictability sounds like it's difficult. You might sit down to start a task early in the morning, but you're never quite sure how long you'll have to finish it. And you're always aware of the possibility of being interrupted.
Programming or writing, those are not tasks I can easily slip in and out of. I do need to, it takes me 20 or 30 minutes to really get into a groove on those.
Have you ever like taken a week off and gone somewhere and given a lot of focused work or attention to your project?
I have not. I've taken time off, you know, taken a day or two here or there to work on it at home while the kids are at school, which is very nice, but never a retreat or anything.
Right, never a break. It's just a difference in your work schedule.
Yeah. This is, it almost would feel unfair to the others, to my spouse, to ask for something like that.
I'm a little curious about that, but it feels like it would be unfair to ask for something that you want and is important to you. Do you feel like that would be kind of shirking your responsibilities as a parent or leaving her hanging or something like that?
I would say more leaving her hanging just because I very well aware of, she's been gone this week. She's been out of town all week. So, you know, I'm very well aware of how difficult having both children at once is.
And you have this sense that something's got to give or change.
Yes, I do feel long-term happiness. You know, I did say I have a long-term time horizon, but I feel like I'm more treading water on my side business rather than making progress.
How's the conversation going between the two of you? Is this kind of a touchy issue? Are you talking about it a lot? How are you working that out between the two of you?
We do not talk about it very much. We just seem to be so busy that we really don't get a whole lot of time to talk to each other, you know, period. We were out to dinner when I showed her my email to you guys and your email response. And that was, you know, really, you know, one of the few times that week where we really got to sit down and have a good adult discussion. So I'd say we don't talk about it. I guess when I do bring up needing more time, I'd say maybe it might be just a little bit of frustration on both of our parts because we really just don't know where or how to do that.
You can't create time. You can't bend the time-space continuum no matter how much the two of you might want to. So it sounds like it's a conversation that feels like it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of always in the back of our mind that we would love to have more time for this, but it's just been kind of an ongoing project for a couple years.
So it's kind of always there, but not brought to the surface too much.
Right.
It is probably something we really should make more of an effort to sit down and discuss.
Yeah.
Or have a weekly or even bi-weekly date night or something where we can go out to dinner and discuss these types of things.
Having the conversation seems like a really important starting point. You know, it also is such a challenge that your children are so little. You're in a phase of life that you won't always be in, but it's a really difficult phase of life even to think clearly, much less try to build something.
I think that might be the biggest part of the challenge. I absolutely love it. And I probably don't do myself some favors, but you know, every once in a while, I just will keep the youngest one home with me and he just sits in my arms and I type one handed. I just, you know, I really like to see him growing up because it's going to happen so quickly. But I do think that might be the biggest, I don't even want to call it an issue. That sounds pretty terrible, but that is probably the challenge that I need to overcome is figuring out how to create a schedule with two children who don't know what one is.
And it may be realizing that that probably won't happen for a little while yet. I mean, your youngest is 5 months. You may be on an involuntary paternity leave from your app for another 5 to 6 months. I know that's painful, but
that is painful, but maybe I just need to accept that and not fight against that.
I mean, it may be something to think about if you don't have flexibility in any other area of your life. So it sounds like the two of you have like great skills in working as a team. I'm curious about, you know, how to put those great teamwork skills to use in helping Will find time to do this project he wants to do, and that the major issue is time.
The major issue is time.
It's good to be able to talk about them. I don't have startup friends or anything. I'm definitely not local in this state. You know, listening to podcasts or reading blog posts, those are my peers, I guess, for this portion of my life.
Yeah.
So it is good to talk about it. So thank you for having me.
Pleasure. And thanks again for being willing to do it. So I really appreciate Will and Mara both taking the time to come on the podcast because I know it's can be challenging to put your stuff out there and feel like they took a big risk to come on and to talk about what they're thinking about related to this part of their life. So the first thing that I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about, and this came up in the interview in a couple of places, is the issue of communication. And if there's a couple of recommendations that we could give, I think my first one is to really work on the communication between the two of them, especially as it relates to the app. They are doing a great job, it sounds like, communicating about their kids and their household and the other parts of life that they're partnering in. But in order to make this successful, if that's something that they want to do, they have got to figure out how to talk about it regularly and often and in a way that is pretty open and honest. And I asked both of them about how often they talk about it, and they basically said, we don't talk about it. We don't spend time talking about the development of the app. We don't spend time talking about how to work our lives such that this is more possible. And so my first reaction was like, well, that's the starting point. Making time to talk about both of their dreams, but certainly for Will, making time to communicate about what he is wanting and what he is hoping for without guilt or without avoiding a conversation because it's a hard conversation, but really being willing to jump in there and say, hey, this is important to me. I really want this to happen. Let's keep talking until we figure out some different ideas and strategies that can make it more possible.
I think that's the key, is to decide for yourself that this is in fact something that you want to do. This is essentially becomes a lifelong pursuit. And it's not something that you're attacking on a whim, like a hobby you're going to do for 6 months, or, you know, picking up some latest fad, or you know, a fantasy football league, or something you're going to kind of toy with on the side that is dispensable. But if you're actually going to do this and make this work, for the most part, the people I know, they are all in. And that's where I feel like Will probably is, but maybe hasn't admitted to himself or realized for himself that this is something he really wants to do. And I question if he's been able to properly communicate that. I know, again, you know, back in the 2006, 2007 timeframe, I felt inside myself like this is something I absolutely have to do, but I don't know how well I communicated that to you during that process. And I feel a lot like the lack of making time and the avoiding the conversation is perhaps, it's kind of a big detriment to that.
I think there's a lot of space to ask for what you want or what you need when you're in a loving, committed relationship. It was surprising to me that it sounds like that's not really happening, especially because this sounds like a couple that's really connected in lots of ways.
Yeah, these are hard conversations. And I think it's as much as admitting to yourself that this is something I'm going to do for the rest of my life, and then taking it forward and saying, okay, now I need to figure out how to translate that into something that my partner understands.
And your partner is your first investor. They have to get on board for you, if not for your idea. They're investing their time and energy and patience, and all of these parts of their life are invested in the project too. And so they're the first sell, and that requires some advertising, some communication, some conversation, some explanation.
The other aspect that comes to mind is that at this point, Will is kind of on his own. He said specifically he does not have a startup community. He doesn't have friends who are doing the same thing. And that is very isolating for him. And it also doesn't provide any context for Mara to see that other people are doing this and that it works, that it's not a pipe dream, that it's not some complete, it's not something that Will has kind of made up in his sleep or something, but there are people actually doing this and making it work. And so what comes to mind for me is that the sooner Will can get into a startup community, a mastermind, some type of thing to provide a frame of reference for both of them to normalize the experience he's going through, because it is normal. What Will is doing is something we've all been through or we're going through now, but perhaps within his town or within their circle of friends, no one else is doing it. And so it feels incredibly isolating and almost like no one else is doing this.
The second recommendation that we came up with is basically to rework their current assumptions about how their life is set up. So right now, Will is trying to squeeze time in the mornings when the kids are still asleep, or on those rare evenings after the kids go to bed when he's not completely tired. And I think there may be some space to rework how he is setting up his work time. One of the things I asked him about in the interview is whether he could maybe take a working retreat every 4 to 6 weeks where he goes away 1 week in a month or so, spends, you know, 2 days and a Friday evening solidly working on the project. And then he can fill in the smaller tasks in those hour, 2 hour increments he might have during the week. And so he's reworking the way he's organizing his time. A couple of other thoughts that we had were some of the advantages of having a nanny, whether that's a live-in nanny or a nanny that comes to your home, that can help eliminate the time that that this couple is spending driving their kids to daycare, and can maybe also help with some of the other household tasks. Even freeing up 10 hours a week is a big deal in the life of a startup.
That's right. And this is something we've done ourselves, right? Where we have essentially a nanny who does some transport and maybe an hour or two on either end of that transport. And it's pretty crazy the amount of time that you can make up just by having someone help out. And I think we said it in the first episode of this podcast about these strategies. And you said yourself, we're not outsourcing our kids. You know, we spend a lot of time with our kids, but there's time at home actually doing experiments and having fun. And there's time sitting in a car driving around that isn't necessarily as productive.
Another strategy that we've used is to basically decide on parenting shifts. I, like Will, enjoy a lot of productivity in the quiet time of the morning. When we are using this strategy, you know, I close the door in my office and work in the morning, and if a child wakes up, they go to daddy. It's on Rob to watch the kids for those early morning hours. And Rob likes to work in the evenings, so if a kid wakes up between 8 and 10 p.m. or comes out of bed and needs some water or something, that's my shift. So I am on to cover whatever the kid needs during that time.
Yeah, and then between 5 and 8 p.m., that's what we call the witching hour, right? And that's where both parents need to be on deck. It's all hands on deck at that point. And so if you're single, or you perhaps are, you know, newly married or just living with someone, you can totally work a 9-to-5 gig and then hang out for 30 minutes, 60 minutes, eat dinner, and go right back to work from 6 p.m. to midnight. Once you have kids, that's gone. You have to accept that and mentally say, I will not get any work done after my workday, which let's say it ends at 5, until 8 p.m., right? Until my spouse or significant other can kind of take up the reins for me. Once I was able to let go of that, things got easier for me mentally, and I completely write off between 5 and 8 p.m. now.
And that way of organizing parenting shifts may, you know, it's going to look different in any family, but that's part of the conversations that you can have when you're regularly spending time talking about these issues and trying to figure out how you can creatively, given who your kids are and who you two are as parents, when you can creatively figure out what the needs are and who's best able to meet those family needs at the different times of the day or the week.
So that wraps up our second point, which is reworking current assumptions. The third item we want to talk about is about saving time. And this comes about at the point where typically you have, you know, two working adults, and you might be sneaking into the area of having more money than time. At that point, that's where I've traditionally tried to recommend someone to either buy an app instead of building it, or to hire a developer to build it. Because at that point, your time is so much more valuable spending time with your family or with marketing rather than writing thousands and thousands of lines of code. Even though that's maybe what you know how to do best, it becomes very, very difficult when you have young children around to actually try to launch an app from scratch, write every line of code, and do all the marketing. To be honest, I don't know, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who's done all of those things at once. If you look at the folks who've made it work where they've written all the lines of code and marketed, they tended to not have young kids at home. And if they had young kids at home, then they were only doing one of those things. I had a young child at home as I was getting things going, but I bought my first app, right? I didn't spend the 400 hours. And this was a very deliberate decision. I was consulting, making good money. And it clicked with me that I had more money than I had time. And so I dropped 10,000 bucks and bought .NET Invoice. And this was to spend that money was a big gamble, but it basically bought a lot of time for me. It saved me, you know, if you do simple math, if you have a wife and kids at home and you're working 5 hours a week, the .NET Invoice was probably a 400-hour code base by the time I acquired it. So you can do pretty simple math and realize that that is 20 months worth of work that I potentially could have gotten done. That's where this thought of like, how do I save time? Whether it's buying an app or whether it's finding someone and actually outsourcing that development and just getting something to the point where you can launch while you spend time with your family and then learn the marketing, the stuff that's really going to drive dollars. That's more the approach that I think you probably want to consider at this point. So point number four is about kicking it up a notch. And I think the point of this one is that it's easy to say that you have a long-term time horizon and that, you know, I'm going to have an ongoing project for a number of years and I'm okay if I don't make any money for a couple years and that I don't live off it for 5 years. The problem with that is that, A, you lose momentum because it's so hard to push forward when it feels like nothing's moving forward. And B, it's hard for you or your partner to take it seriously if there's no revenue. And so when I say kick it up a notch, what I mean is get to revenue as soon as possible. The sooner you get to revenue, the sooner you can reduce your hours at your day job, the sooner you can convince your wife that the project is actually something that could be sustainable long term and that it might offer you a different life down the road. The first time I was ever able to talk to you, Sherry, about project being something sustainable and something we could do long-term was after .NET Invoice was making a couple $1,000s a month. And this was years into my career of trying to launch products. And I had talked to you offhand about them here and there, but once .NET Invoice was bringing in $2,000 a month, I remember saying, okay, here's what this looks like and here's what I see, you know, long-term path being for it. And at least at that point, I could say, look, this is a house payment. You know, it's bringing in quite a bit of money each month. We can do this and make this work realistically.
And suddenly I was really motivated to be supportive.
Right. You saw the dollar sign. You said, wait, four figures?
Show me the money, honey.
Yeah. So that's kind of the fourth point is to kick it up a notch and to focus on revenue and how quickly can you get to revenue. It's not to push it out and say, you know what, this is going to take a long time and I'm okay to have it go a number of years, because I actually don't think that's a helpful attitude when you're trying to launch a product and have you, yourself, and your partner take it seriously.
My last recommendation, and I ended my conversation with Will with something like this, is perhaps a little bit incongruous with Rob's last comment, but it's the idea that this may not be the time to kick it up. Will and Mara have two very young children and sound like they are adopting a family strategy of pretty equitable involvement in both of their children's lives. And when you have a 5-month-old who is not on a schedule at all and is requiring just a lot of time and attention and probably some sleep deprivation, this may not be the season of life to do this. It's so hard to feel divided, right? To feel pulled to give your time and attention to something, but then also feel like you can't. I think if that goes unchecked for a long time, it can cause you to resent your children, resent your family, feel like you're unfulfilled. But I think there's something really helpful about choosing, I am not going to work on this for the next 5 months or for the next 8 months. But when I do, when my children are, you know, sleeping through the night and on a schedule and no longer nursing or whatever the particular situation is, when that stage of development has passed, I'm going to lay the foundation to kick it up a notch and hit it hard and have everything in place to be as successful as possible at that time. And as I was talking to them, Rob, I kept thinking about our first years with both of our children and the realization that neither of us worked full time for the entire first year of life with both of our kids. And that was just our experience of finding that really early young baby phase to be really demanding, you know, on a couple like us where we have two careers and two vocations happening.
I think the idea that it may not be the right time right now while all of these things are coming together is a valid one. And it strikes me that there's a lot of things not in your court for the next few months. And that if you try to fight against it, it can become very frustrating. And that if you give into it for a specific amount of time and try to say, boy, by 6 months from now, I'm really going to hit it hard. And getting agreement from your partner, you know, that you yourself believe that, but then also trying to get buy-in and some support. And it's hard to schedule stuff with kids, right? But realistically, trying to set a time frame on it, I don't think is an unreasonable thing to think about at this point. So to summarize, we covered 5 points today after Will and Mara's interview. The first one was to try to improve communication. Second was to rework current assumptions. Third was to figure out ways to save time on a more global scale. The fourth was to kick it up a notch and try to accelerate the timetable and move towards revenue. And then the fifth was to consider waiting until your attention is less divided.
So again, we want to thank Will and Mara for talking with us and for being a little case study to talk about some of the challenges that many families are facing when they are starting products, when there's a lot of other things going on in life.
Right. And this is something we faced ourselves. And I see most people facing, if they are married, whether they have kids or not, it's definitely something that a lot of folks are dealing with as they launch the products. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.